This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for musical entertainment, a stage drama, or a gallery opening party, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Jefferson Performing Arts Society kicks off its 40th anniversary season with the grand reopening of the West Wego Performing Arts Theater and a musical debut by the Big Easy Boys with doo-wop favorites from the 50s and 60s. JPAS co-founder and artistic director Dennis Asaf joins us. Welcome.
Honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Bringing quality performing arts to Jefferson Parish has been your life's passion. What are you thinking about as you reach a 40-year milestone?
How did I get this far, you know? It's been quite a journey. And as you know, the founding mission of our organization was to be the catalyst to build that new Performing Arts Center on Airline Drive. And it took us 38 years to get it done, and we're so proud to have it. But of course, during that journey, we were honored to be chosen by then-Representative John Alario to manage the soon-to-be-constructed West Wego Performing Arts Theater, which opened in October of 2004 with a production of Chicago, which coincidentally we're bringing back this time in the new Jefferson Performing Arts Center. But the West Wego Performing Arts Theater has had such a difficult history in its short 12 years. Katrina damaged it very heavily in August of 2005, just 10 months after we opened the place. We got it back in business in 6 months, and then again, 7 years exactly to the day, August 29th, 2012, Hurricane Isaac really did a number on it. It punched a hole the size of a pickup truck in the fly loft over the stage, and it's taken us 5 years to get it back in operation, and we're so excited to do that, especially with the Big Easy Boys.
And you're opening with that nostalgic musical group. The production is called So Happy Together, the greatest hits of the Big Easy Boys. Take us back in time to that doo-wop era.
Well, that's my era. You know, I have an older sister, 8 years older, and an older brother. So while everyone my age, I was born in 51, everyone my age was really coming of age when the Beatles hit in 1964. But I had already been listening to all that great music with my brother and sister on the old stations. You know, they had the rival top 40 stations, WNOE and WTIX. So when the Beatles came out singing Chains of Love, I said, wait a minute, that's an old song. Roll Over Beethoven, the Beatles were singing. No, Chuck Berry did that way before the Beatles. So I love doo-wop music. In fact, I included some of the doo-wop songs in my own production that I wrote 20 years ago, Denny Discovers the Orchestra, where my character was a lead doo-wop singer of Denny and the Deftones. So I love doo-wop music. You know, it's good vocal music. It's basic street harmony. And the Big Easy Boys, I was sitting in on a rehearsal the other day, and man, my toes were tapping. I wanted to get up there and sing with them. And I want to add, opening night performance, we're going to donate 50% of the proceeds to the Hurricane Harvey recovery. We are targeting the Alley Theater in Houston, which is a beautiful theater, and it suffered tremendous damage.
Tell us more about the Big Easy Boys. Who are they?
It's a quartet of wonderful young men, Rich Arnold, Jonathan Drury, Mark Fushi, and Michael Taravella. And of course, we have the Big Easy Babes who are going to be performing on the production as well, and there are three of them. Marie Becknell, Emily Heck, and Ashley Rose Bailey. Seven wonderful singers. We have a nine-piece orchestra backing them up.
What are they performing?
There's approximately 70 songs that you're going to hear. Several of them are grouped as a medley, so you're not going to hear 70 full-length songs. They do a drifter set, you know, dance with me, hold me closer, closer and closer. I love the drifters.
Dennis, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are my roots. The Babes do an Aretha Franklin set. They do a Supreme set, a lot of Motown. They do a set of Temptations, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, and, of course, Elvis.
Oh,
so,
my.
I mean, it runs the gamut, you know. And, of course, the Turtles, you know. So happy together.
Now, the theater, it's been shuttered for a while.
5 years.
What does it look like today? What have you done?
Oh, it's crisp. We've basically built a new theater from the inside out. It's got all new sound and light, new seating because the old seats got wet and moldy, so we had to rip them all out. Got all new sound and lighting, all new curtains, all new rigging for the fly system. We've remodeled the lobby, taken out the carpet and put in attractive tile. So very exciting.
How big is the theater?
It seats 255. Visually and acoustically, it's a stunning little theater. We love it. It's a lot of fun to work in.
What does the rest of the season look like?
We've got three productions right now in rehearsal and then preparing for our fundraiser, Pasta and Puccini. Chicago, which opens October 6th in the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. So that'll be our season opener over there. Caroline or Change, a production we're extremely excited about, is a joint production with the Loyola University Theater Department. The semi-autobiographical work by the author Tony Kushner. He's a Jewish gentleman who grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and it was a fairly substantial family, and they had an African-American maid, and it takes place during the 60s, during the time of the Kennedy assassination. Near the end of this production, they're talking about a Civil War monument in Lake Charles, and one of the characters says, they're going to take that down someday. Now, this production was written many years ago, so it's kind of prescient that they're forecasting the removal of Civil War monuments. It's a powerful piece.
And what do you foresee in the future for the Jefferson Performing Arts Society?
We're actually getting back into the dinner theater mode in our little cabaret space next door to the West Wego Performing Arts Theater, which we call Teatro Wego. We are going to actually inaugurate the return of food service. Then we're going to start bringing back murder mystery theater and other improv productions in Teatro Wego, where you can stay, have a meal, see a production in Teatro Wego, or you can go next door to the West Wego Performing Arts Theater.
JPAS co-founder and artistic director Dennis Sassoff, congrats on 40 years of arts performances.
Thank you, Diane.
The Big Easy Boys make their JPAS debut with So Happy Together, opening Friday at the West Wego Performing Arts Theater, 177 Sala Avenue, 7:30 p.m. Performances run through October 1st. More info online at jpas.org. On the East Bank, Rhino Contemporary Crafts Gallery is on the move and celebrating 30 years in the Crescent City. The craft gallery with the quirky name has nothing to do with horned mammals or zoos. It's a Nola-centric name. Gallery director Vitrice McMurray is here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane. It's great to be back.
And congratulations on 30 years.
It's amazing.
Tell me, how did the nonprofit cooperative get the name Rhino?
It stands for Right Here in New Orleans.
But of course.
Yes, we're not a nature store. Or...
Take us back in time and tell us about Rhino and how it came to be.
Okay, Rhino is the only nonprofit craft cooperative in the state. And we started when Sandra Blair, who was an artist herself, started a fine crafts gallery called Chihuahua in Place St. Charles. She ran it as a retail establishment for a while, and then she decided to apply for the nonprofit status. And by then, she had changed the name to Rhino. She came up with that. She's very, very clever and still is. She got the nonprofit status, and shortly thereafter, she turned it over to a group of local artists, hoping they could keep it going.
And your thoughts 3 decades later on its success?
It's really quite miraculous when you think of the changing crew of artists that we've had over the years. You know, we've been through a lot of changes. Katrina was a major one, but there have been a million small changes. You know, people move away, people change their life, they go into different fields. So we've had a lot of people come through our doors over the years. Right now we have 28 members.
And speaking of change, you've changed location. Where are you?
Yes, we were in Canal Place for many years, which was a lovely location. But we decided that we needed a change, and we closed our Canal Place gallery on July 1st, and On August 1st, we had a soft opening of our brand new space, which is gorgeous. It's huge, bright, high ceiling in a historic neighborhood uptown, 2028 Magazine, which is close to Jackson, and most people seem to know it as right beside Juan's Flying Burrito or Aiden Gill.
Yes.
It's a fabulous location with a lot of room. It's a building from 1840 that was a German bakery at one point, and we still actually have the oven in the back.
Wow.
From the bakery. And some of our customers actually went there as children. We have a beautiful press tin ceiling, and our visual committee has done an amazing job of lighting and arranging it. It's incredible looking.
What makes this gallery unique?
Anytime any person goes in there, there are two or three of the artist members on duty. Sometimes they're actually demonstrating their work. Usually they're at least talking about it. And through the years, we've done vast amounts of children's workshops for free, adult workshops for very nominal cost, exhibits and demonstrations around town. We go out to the art market sometimes and do children's tables. We go to the Bayou Boogaloo. We do a lot of community outreach. And another great thing about Rhino that I think is unique, because I'm head of that committee, is the bag painting committee. Anytime you buy anything at Rhino, you get a hand-painted gift bag. Invariably, when I hand them to people, they say, oh, this is so beautiful, I want to frame the bag.
Tell us about the artists that are represented and some of the crafts that will be on display.
Our founding principles were based on the idea of fine craft. And of course, in the art world, there's the eternal debate between art and craft. People can argue at length about that, but we are fine crafts, and we have a few members that are actually a little bit gray area between the craft and art, but we cover the fields of glass, fiber, clay, metal, mixed media, and collage. We have some of those. We have like 10 jewelers who all manage to be completely unique. They mostly work in silver, but we have artists working in brass, copper, gold, and cloisonné, and anodized aluminum, and a wide range of jewelry. Plus, we have some beautiful fiber work and great clay work and glass. We have several glass artists. We have 7 brand new members. A wonderful woodworker that's come back to us. We juried in a young artist that makes beautiful linen clothes with hand-screened images. They're very refined and really delicate and beautiful.
And how will you celebrate 30 years?
We will celebrate it with live music by John Rankin and Don Vappi, and a lot of champagne and food.
Rhino Gallery Director Patrice McMurray, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Rhino Contemporary Crafts Gallery celebrates 30 years with a grand opening in a new location, 2028 Magazine Street, Saturday evening from 6 until 9. More info at rhinocrafts.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. In the French Quarter, there is another celebration as Le Petit Theater kicks off its second century of theater in New Orleans. Yes, 101 years. Artistic director Max Williams joins us with choreographer Polanco Jones Jr. as the curtain rises on a new season. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. Thank you.
Max, you have some big shoes to fill as you head into a new century of performances. Are you up to the task?
We've got a wonderful team that's working there now. You know, all the time we're introduced to and continue to work with more and more creative people, both here in New Orleans and from outside of New Orleans. And we're really beginning to have a conversation between our theater and kind of the national theater scene. And it's an exciting time. I think there's a lot of momentum behind us and behind the theater.
And you're opening the season with an award-winning musical, Fable, Once on This Island.
Yes, it's by Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens, and they are the authors, among other things, of Ragtime. They have Anastasia on Broadway right now. They also did Rocky. This is their very first musical that they did.
How did you come to choose it?
It's a musical fable at base about a couple of star-crossed lovers, a young peasant girl from an island they describe as the jewel of the Antilles, which we take to mean Haiti, falling in love with a rich young man who crashes his car near the village, and they enter into a kind of dance, a clash of their different cultures. There's these underlying themes of class and struggle and courage and devotion and hope and how strong is love, and is it stronger than death? So, you know, I'm always attracted to works that can speak to a wide audience, but that have a depth of humanity underneath. And this one was just really inspiring.
And Polenko, as choreographer, what attracted you to this work?
I have a passion for creating social political work that really takes a deep look into community and how we can, as a people, pull together and try and make tomorrow better. And I think that there's a way to do that with every work that you pursue, be it musical theater, be it classical music, be it opera. There's always a through line that can carry a stronger message. Once on This Island is a beautiful piece of work that focuses on a lot of subjects that I feel like we as people have a tendency to overlook. For example, colorism. It's such a strong point of the show. We oftentimes look at issues within race and kind of allow them to bypass. But looking within a race and seeing how a person of lighter complexion and a person of darker complexion can still have that same animosity towards each other that can be seen with people of different races is very important to show. It shows that the struggle can sometimes reside in your own culture. That, for me, is a huge part of wanting to do the show, especially in New Orleans. Growing up here, there's been a history of the brown paper bag Negro, where you have to be able to pass a brown paper bag test, or you're too dark to come inside. That's something that we can't sleep on. And I feel like this show brings that to the forefront. And I was really invested in finding movement that captured the essence of the lyrics, that showed the strength, pride, and struggle of the people, but also glorified them and showed them in a way that was beautiful and majestic.
It's 14 actors, and they're jumping into many, many different roles. The inciting event for the entire play is a hurricane. It's not that the characters are dealing with the aftermath of this hurricane, but the way that they relate to the gods of their island and whether the gods are angry, whether the gods are happy, and how that expresses itself through the natural world and how these characters navigate their way through that.
There is an island where rivers run deep,
where the sea sparkling in the sun earns it the name Jewel of the Antilles.
An island where the poorest of peasants labor.
And the wealthiest of Grand Dome play.
Two different worlds on one island.
The Grand Dome, with their pale brown skins and their fringed wings. Owners of the land and masters of their own fates.
And the peasants, black as night, eternally at the mercy of their wind and their sea, who pray constantly to their gods.
I think what's beautiful also about the way the story starts is that after this terrible storm, after this hurricane is hit, the people find a sense of pride to calm each other. They pull together as a tribe And we really see a strong sense of ensemble build early. And I think it really just shows that community in the end is what pulls people through. No one man can do it alone.
And Max, what's ahead in the season? Is there a work by Ed Asner?
We've got Ed coming October 8th and 9th. He's doing his one-man show that's called A Man and His Prostate. And it's written by Ed Weinberger, who's was a writer for Taxi, a creator of a lot of those classic sitcoms of the 80s period, Dear John and so forth. It's a very wry and weird and humorous take on Ed's own experience battling prostate cancer. But this play about his cancer battle, of course it's Ed Asner, and it's just immensely funny and warm and accessible. Who doesn't love Ed Asner? In November, we're going to do a small musical, two-person musical called The Last 5 Years, which charts a relationship kind of from its beginning to end. But one character is moving forward in time and the other character is moving backward in time. They intersect and appear on stage together only at the time of their wedding. It was made into a movie a few years ago with Anna Kendricks. We'll be doing A Streetcar Named Desire in concert, of course, with the Tennessee Williams Festival. That's going to be exciting. Then we've got a really, really funny play called An Act of God. God has returned to Earth to give us a new set of Ten Commandments because he's a little disappointed in the way that we've been interpreting the old ones. And then we close out the season with a play with music, almost a musical, called Crowns. It's rhythmic, gospel, hip-hop story about a young woman from Chicago who comes down south to stay with her grandmother and is introduced to her grandmother's network and family of hat queens and learns to celebrate herself in that process. My hope is that starting now and looking forward into the coming years that people of New Orleans, when they think theater, they look to Le Petit and feel a sense of pride and ownership.
Le Petit Theater Artistic Director Max Williams and choreographer Palenko Jones Jr. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Once on This Island opens Friday and runs through October 1st at Le Petit Theater, 616 St. Peter Street. More info at lepetittheater.com. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette. Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.